Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure that they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
That was the famous Leave No Doubt speech from the classic football film Remember the Titans. Sports is the stuff of heroics. Fourth down stands on the line of scrimmage, a desperate three-point shot from midcourt at the buzzer, or a batter with a full count and two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. But sports, for all it does to motivate young athletes and inspire aging fans, is also a serious business. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Today on Route 51, we look at the business of sports in Wisconsin, how owners pay attention to the bottom line, and how athletes compete not just for recognition, but for the almighty dollar and a place on the roster. We'll look at what it takes to make it in professional sports, whether you want a job on the field or behind the scenes. And we'll look at the role our universities and colleges play in the process, with a list of do's and don'ts for aspiring young athletes. We've got a great panel for you today. Here in the studio, Mark McDonald, CEO and owner of the Wausau-based Wisconsin Woodchucks of the Northwoods Baseball League, UW-Stevens Point Athletic Director Brad Duckworth, and joining us by phone from Milwaukee, Brian Lamme, the founder and CEO of Lamme Sports Management. As always, we want to hear from you. If you've got a question or comment for our guests, you can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Thanks to all of you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Brian, let's start with you. The slogan on your website is creating lifetime memories through the passion of sports. How do you go about doing that?
Glenn, we marry up athletes and the incredible success they've had with different corporations, events, and fan events. So a more recent example is when Donald Driver, a client of ours, announced that he was going into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. He wanted to give back to the fans and do a statewide thank you fans tour. So we got a bus and literally traveled the state of Wisconsin for Donald to be able to thank fans, and he ended up making 29 stops over 4 days and did everything from making cream puffs at the state fair to serving meals to some economically disadvantaged youths and teens in Madison, and doing a whole lot of fun things like playing baseball up at the Miracle Field in Manitowoc. So for us, it's how do you create all of this, or capture, I should say, this passion that the fans have for sports and do it through the business of marketing professional athletes that we've been in now for 16 years at Lamme Sports.
Well, you book athletes, coaches, broadcasters, celebrities, and entertainers, and you book them on speaking engagements, other events, appearances, and endorsements. According to your website, you've successfully placed talent at over 1,000 events, and that also involves assisting clients with media buys and advising them of their sponsorship or endorsement strategy. What are the factors that go into that last item, advising them on their sponsorship or endorsement strategy?
Sure. Well, we advise on both sides of the equation. So for athletes, for clients like Jordy Nelson is another guy that we exclusively represent, we're really helping them to build their brand off the field and to align them with quality partnerships. So we're looking for authentic connections that they believe in and they support, and then figure out where we can build lasting partnerships. So a couple of examples with Jordy Nelson would be that he has a couple of farm endorsements. We had never done a farm endorsement up until the last few years when we started working with Jordy. But now we've done a few because it's something that's authentic and true to Jordy and what he believes in. Or for his charitable softball game, all of the proceeds for that go to Young Life, a Christian mentoring organization up in Green Bay, because he's personally is a mentor and a part of that mentoring organization. So for us, it's telling players that this is the only brand you're going to have your entire life, and it's something that should be managed and cultivated and finding ways to partner up with the right organizations and brands that they believe in. And on the flip side, we'll work with organizations to look at whether it's a team deal with a sports organization or what athletes they should partner with to make sure it's an authentic connection with their brand. So we've done with Associated Bank that we've brought Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and previously Devontae Adams to the table to do commercials for Associated Bank. And hopefully we're able to advise both parties along the way on how to make that an effective partnership.
Is this something new for athletes? I can't imagine Babe Ruth or Bart Starr thinking about what their brand was.
You know, even back then, those guys, you know, were doing commercials and, you know, would have sponsorships in place. But Mark McCormick, at the former founder of IMG, you know, was credited with creating sports marketing as kind of an ongoing business concern probably well over 60 years ago. So it certainly does go way back. There's been these partnerships with, you know, Joe DiMaggio for coffee maker brands and other things way back when. So Babe Ruth may not have had a full-time marketing agent, but somewhere along the line, corporate America saw the value in these leading personalities to further promote their organizations, and charitable groups have, you know, built quality partnerships that have helped them to spread their message to a wider audience.
All right. Mark McDonald, the Wisconsin Woodchucks just wrapped up your 2017 season. How did things go for you this year?
As a team, we did not do really well. I know we're below 500. I can't remember what the exact record was. Individually, we had three or four players that had outstanding seasons and, you know, looked to have a future in baseball. And so you're not just rooting, you know, at the collegiate summer level where we are. You're not just rooting for the team, but you're also rooting for the players, and you're trying to identify that next sort of superstar that's going to go on to the major leagues and have a career. And we had two or three players, you know, Stevie Mangrum and Orson Josefina, that probably have that ability to do that.
You play in Wausau's Athletic Park, which dates back to 1912. We were talking about before the show, those granite walls were built in 1936 during the Great Depression. Now, as a businessman, you've invested millions of dollars in renovating that field. What did you do and why did you do it?
When I bought the team, it was rather evident that the stadium needed an upgrade. The type of fan coming through the gate every night was not the type of fan that could support the team in the city of Wausau. We needed to bring back the families, bring back the businessmen that wanted to entertain clients. And so all the renovations have been about blending the old with the new at Athletic Park. So taking the historic elements of the park, but bringing in more comfortable seats, building luxury suites, group outing areas, the four-top tables, which are just ideal for, you know, businessmen to sit around and talk over a baseball game. It's been successful. I mean, right now, on any one night, we can have 14 different corporate outings going on in the stadium at one point in time. And there's a lot more to it than just baseball. There's a lot of socialization going on.
Does that pay off for your bottom line? You've got such a short season, just a handful of games during each summer, and here you're pumping millions of dollars into capital improvements for the ballpark. How do you make that money back?
Well, everybody knows that I had a career before I bought a baseball team. I was 52 years old when I retired from my career as an investment manager for a large mutual fund company in Los Angeles, and this is more of a passion. It will pay off over time, but it's a long pay period. We're seeing already that people are willing to pay more for the ticket. And companies are willing to come out and spend more money, and we've had a nice increase in revenues.
The young players that make your roster each summer, do all of them have dreams of going on to the major leagues?
Surprisingly not. Every one of them does, believe it or not. But I think the majority of them do. They all have that dream. We're giving them an experience. We're trying to find – a lot of them are trying to figure out whether or not they want to pay the price. Being a Major League Baseball requires a lot of dedication, a lot of effort, and it's a grind. a minor league baseball player with bus rides and games every single day. Most of these players have never experienced that type of life, and we give them that experience. And it's funny, after the summer, you can see that some of them are like, well, I don't know about this. And others, of course, you know, they eat it up, and they love it, and they love the game, and they love the experience. And those are the ones that usually make it.
How many of them end up making it?
From a team like we had this summer, we'll have anywhere between 10 to 15 players drafted into the minor leagues. From that 10 to 15, it's generally just one that you will see get called up to the majors. And, you know, there's a real winnowing out here in the minor league baseball.
We have any examples you can point to of players who played in Wausau who are in the major leagues right now?
Well, the most recent one is Paul DeJong. He played for us in 2014, and he came from Illinois State, which was not your high-level Division I school. It wasn't on every scout's radar. He came here on day one and played in every single game that summer, set the Northwoods League record for home runs with 20, and just was a great kid. I mean, just he was pre-med, so he's not dumb. And he was he could see he loved the game, and he was willing to put out the effort. He was called up this year by the St. Louis Cardinals. He's playing shortstop for them. He's already got 20 home runs and over 50 RBIs. He's having a great season. And so that happened pretty quickly. And you could tell right away that Paul DeJong was going to succeed because he's just had that determination that he was going to make him succeed.
You can pick him out.
You can tell. I mean, you know, you can tell the kids that love the game. You know, I'm a father of four children myself, and the advice I give my children is find something you really love to do and do it really well, and the money will. Don't worry about the money will come. And with Paul, you can see that he loved every aspect of the game. He loved the bus rides. He loved the camaraderie in the locker rooms, and he just loved to talk about the game and think about hitting. And to tell you what we knew about him, he played third base for us. We didn't think he could play shortstop, and here he is. He's playing shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. So we're not the smartest people in the world. So.
Brad Duckworth, you were part of the management team for the Wisconsin Woodchucks 17 years ago. Things have changed quite a bit in Wausau since then.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, what Mark is Clark Eckhoff was a tremendous owner and really had a vision for the Wisconsin Woodchucks and took it to a new level. And since Mark has come on board, that facility and that organization has just and the whole league has just blown up. So, you know, kudos to what Mark has done in his time there.
And you spent 9 years at Alverno College in Milwaukee. You were the athletic director and the women's head basketball coach. You're the program's all-time winningest coach with 103 victories. And now you're going into your second year as athletic director at UW-Stevens Point. What are the similarities and differences with the program there and the one you had at Alverno College?
Well, you know, Stevens Point is on the Division III scene is a national player. You know, it's a top 10 program in the country, and obviously with 20 sports and the 12 national championships that we've been able to obtain in the history, in the Division III world, Stevens Point is a Alabama type. You know, it's one of the power players, it's hard to compare anywhere to what we're able to do in Stevens Point.
And what do you think motivates young athletes at UW-Stevens Point? How many of them are going to make sports their livelihood of the kids that you coach?
Well, surprisingly, at Stevens Point, we do have a number of students who will continue and play. Our hockey program just put 8 men into the East Coast Hockey League. And our hockey program, under the leadership of Chris Brooks, and now Tyler Krieger, has been really successful. Jordan Zimmerman is an all-star and has made a career out of it. He pitched for the Pointers, coming, Wisconsin native. But the majority in the NCAA, Division I, II, and III, one of the taglines that you'll see on television is the majority of our student-athletes go pro in something other than athletics. So while we have a lot of students who aspire to that at all divisions, including Stevens Point, the majority of our students are going to go on and do something else.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about the business of sports today on Route 51 with Brad Duckworth, the athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, Mark McDonald, the CEO and owner of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, and Brian Lammy, the CEO and founder of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. All three of you are on the business side of the sports world, but each of you have taken different paths. I'm going to ask all three of you, was there a defining moment or motivating factor that got each of you to this point in your respective careers? Brian, let's start with you.
There was, you know, I would say, I think Mark said it well, what he tells his four kids is that you follow your passion. So for me, I was just passionate as an athlete growing up. My athletic claim to fame kind of begins and ends with I used to regularly block an NBA player's shot. But Steve Novak was 7 when I was 18 at the time, and I had a little bit of height on him. And he obviously went on to much bigger and better things and is a great human being in addition to a great athlete. But for me, it was just about following my passion. I actually graduated talking about Division III schools. I'm a lacrosse grad. They were one of the first schools in the country to offer a sports management emphasis. And as soon as I got into that program, I just said, this is exciting. There's a way to stay connected with sports throughout my professional career. And I have known nothing but in my entire career. So I just kind of stuck with it and took a lot of no's along the way, but eventually kind of found the right opportunities and really excited now to still be in the field.
Mark McDonald, what's the thing that got under your skin that made you want to own a minor league baseball team?
Well, as a kid, I was one of 7 children. My mother and father owned a resort down in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and I grew up in a family business, and I grew to respect their ability to make payroll and to give people jobs. And I also thought what was unique about my mother and father's business is a lot of kids got their first job there and got their start. And so while I was in Los Angeles as an investor, I love that. I mean, I love the competitive nature of the market. I love to compete every morning just to try to find to beat the market. But all along, I kind of had this, you know, desire to do something else at some point in my career. And so, you know, in 2009, when the markets crashed and everything, that was hard on everybody. And I helped the company get back through that and get on their feet. But at that point in time, I said, you know, I'm going to go off and do something else. And this was a great opportunity with the Woodchucks to give young people an opportunity to get started. If you come to Athletic Park any night and you look around, you see 30 ball players on the field, or I should say all the ball players. There's 30 on each team, so there's 60 ball players out there. They're trying to get a start in Major League Baseball. The umpires are fresh out of the school. Most of the coaches are young, and they're trying to get that next better Division I job or whatever. You know, in the stands, you've got all sorts of kids that have their first job and interns from college that are in marketing and radio and video. And so everywhere you look around, there's young people trying to, you know, to grow and get better. And it's just a really positive environment to be in. And I really enjoy the opportunity to give young people the opportunity to grow and get better. And at the same time, making payroll, which I think is underrated in our
history.
Yeah. I don't think people really respect the ability of people to make payroll.
And it's agonizing if you're in a business where that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, where the business is declining or for some reason you're not doing as well as you'd like to because other people's lives are on the line.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Brad Duckworth, same question for you. Did you always want to be an athletic director, and what was the defining moment that made you head down this path?
Well, it sounds like lacrosse is the hotbed because I also have an undergraduate from lacrosse and in sport management and a master's in sport administration. But you know, from there. But, you know, for me, coaches my entire life pulled me through. And I probably don't deserve to be working at a doctorate and be a director of athletics at a high level. But that's because of the impact coaches had on my life. So to echo to Mark, what I say to young people who try to get into this profession is if you ever count your paycheck or count your hours, don't go into this. This is about passion for people. And, you know, and in my life, it's always been about, you know, wins are great, and we've had lots of wins, and we've won rings and done all kinds of things. You know, it's going to our student athletes' weddings, it's seeing their kids, it's seeing them grow in their career, and whatever that is, whether that's professional sport or not, that drives me. So, you know, working in higher education my entire life, and I hope to the rest of my life. It's really that 18 to 22 year old period in someone's life is so impactful, and I'm proud to say I'm part of it. So that's what drives me.
A common theme with any form of business, including sports, is building relationships. How do each of you in your respective roles go about achieving that on a daily basis? And I'm going to also ask you, how easy or difficult can it be to relate to athletes, whether they're professionals or aspiring ones? Brian, again, let's start with you.
Well, I'll answer the second part of that question first. As far as relating to professional athletes, I think after a while, you realize they put their pants on one leg at a time. My first client when I started off was Brad Johnson, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who led them to their first and still only Super Bowl championship. And he said, the week I won the Super Bowl, I still took the garbage out the next day. So I think for all of these guys, they still have family concerns. They have different things going on in their lives that may be amplified because of the spotlight of professional sports. But ultimately, you're still, having some of those same concerns that everybody else is. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of times it really isn't all that different other than the spotlight that comes along with it. And I think that helps us for the first part of the question as far as relating with these guys. I think for us, there isn't any one big sexy thing as far as what we do with the athletes that we work with other than just follow up, be consistent, be there every day, and make sure that we're, again, looking for authentic connections with what they want to accomplish off the field. So for us, it's just, being consistent, tell the truth, and never make a promise or a threat that you're not willing to back up, and make sure you're delivering for these guys each and every day.
Mark McDonald, how do you relate to the aspiring young athletes on your team? And do you ever have to deal with prima donnas, people who think they're too good for the game?
Yeah, it's generally with the woodchuck players, I don't try to engage in conversations with them, but if they want to talk to me, I'm there. And some of them are really interested in the business of sports, and they want to get to know me. And so it's every athlete is different, and you kind of have to play it by ear. I have to stay back because at some point in time, I may have to discipline them. We're talking about young men between the ages of 19 and 21, and occasionally they need to be sent home if they do something stupid. I'm not trying to be friends with them, that's for sure. It's interesting with the college athletes these days that some of the kids that come from the sort of the most modest and humble backgrounds have been put on a pedestal for most of their life, and so they can be really kind of arrogant, and you never really know what you're going to run into with them. I find that humility is a good thing. I've always thought it was, for myself included, that, you know, if you don't, as an investor, if you aren't humble, the market will make you humble real quickly. And so I find that the players that I think that are going to have the most success and go on and maybe have a Major League Baseball career are humble. Yeah.
Humility is something we'd like to see a little bit more of in broadcast journalism, too. Brad Duckworth, same question for you. How do you relate to the young people that you have to coach, and how do you deal with prima donnas?
Well, you know, the 18 to 22-year-olds don't change much. And I heard something recently that, kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Parents have changed. Culture has changed, but the kids haven't changed. 18 to 22-year-olds come in and need guidance, and actually the longer you do it, the more you can kind of pick up on trends of those. So relating with our student athletes isn't hard. They're there. They're passionate. They need to go to class. They have a career in mind. And if you're not into that, you're in the wrong position. But, you know, dealing with prima donnas happens. You certainly find people who think that their career is made for them, or if they just keep doing what they're doing. And Mark is correct. It isn't about, you know, a lot of folks can throw a ball really hard or shoot it really well or catch a ball or whatever. It's the folks that are passionate about the details, that care about the bus rides, that care about their teammates and their community. Those are the guys that are going to make it. And you try to remind them of that they are not bigger. There is not one person bigger than the organization or their teammates. So you drive that point home.
We're talking with Mark McDonald, the owner and CEO of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, Brad Duckworth, the athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, and Brian Lammy, the president of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. We're talking about the business of sports. I'm Glenn Moberg. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a question or comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. We're going to take a short break. Here's Samuel L. Jackson from the movie Coach Carter.
Gentlemen, you told me you deserved to be here. Well, you're not playing like it. season long, we played our game. Right now, you're playing theirs. When we step on the floor, every second that clock is ticking, we are pedal to the metal. We run the ball. We pressure the ball. And most importantly, we control the tempo of the game.
Support for WPR comes from the International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival, September 15th to the 17th in Wausau, offering ginseng-themed foods, hands-on activities, live music, and more. WisconsinGinsengFestival.com. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Music from Bruce Springsteen as we discuss the business of sports with Mark McDonald, the owner and CEO of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, Brad Duckworth, the athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, and Brian Lammy, the CEO of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a question or comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Brian Lammy, you represent some big-name talent, as we were talking about before, including Donald Driver of the Green Bay Packers. What made him decide to hire you as a marketing agent?
Good question. I wouldn't leave him alone, I guess, is a short answer. But the longer answer is I drove up in a snowstorm to meet with him and his wife, Bettina, and had a long conversation. And I think we both came to the realization that it would just be a really good fit. I think he believed in some of the ideas that we thought could be a good fit for him, and I was certainly blown away by his hospitality and his family's kindness overall, and what they wanted to accomplish off the field as far as still giving back and making a difference in the world after Donald's youth, having grown up homeless and living in a U-Haul truck and experiencing many of the challenges that he did. I could tell that he had a big heart, and he apparently thought that we'd be a good group to partner with, and we're blessed to say well over a decade later, we're still able to work together.
And once a person like Mr. Driver is on board, how do you increase his exposure? How do you decide what appearances would be good for his career? And I'm thinking specifically of booking him, as you did, on an episode of Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars specifically was an interesting one because Donald was obviously still playing, and what would that mean for his football career and practice schedules and all of that good stuff. But Donald thought long and hard about it. I always say that we work for the players. We try to provide them with the best options, and they make the final decisions. And I think in this one, he ended up making the right one to come on the show. It was an awesome experience. He ended up bringing his wife, three kids, and both mother-in-laws all out to L.A. So they all did it together as a family. And for 10 consecutive weeks, he was in front of 35 million people per week because back then the show was still being broadcast on Monday and Tuesday. So 20 million on Monday, 15 million on Tuesday. And it was a way for him to amplify his story and get the message out to really a nationwide and even international audience in some cases, and it certainly had a dramatic impact on his appeal, but I think it ended up being a good decision for him and for us. It was also just one of those moments in my life I'll never forget because my wife was also pregnant with twins at the time, so there was a whole lot going on at that period, but something I will always forget, always remember the rest of my life for sure.
Mark, give us an idea of what a player's life is like during the summer when they're playing for the Woodchucks.
It's a grind. I mean, they wake up every morning, and they're young athletes, so they wake up 10 o'clock. They don't come out of the bed at the crack of dawn. Let's face that. Generally, they start eating, and they eat a lot because they're growing. They're still eating at this age, and so they eat, and then they go to the gym and work out. Most of the ones that are really serious about the baseball and becoming Major League Baseball player need they need to work out every single day. Come back to the park. Batting practice is 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then they start stretching and working out and getting ready for the game. And then there's the game, which can last anywhere between right around 3 hours. Afterwards, between winding down and going out with their teammates and having something to eat again, they end up getting to bed around 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And then that goes on every single day. They, a Northwoods League player will play 72 games in 75 days. So they're pretty much, playing every day. When they're on the road, there's sort of variations on that theme, but still the same thing. They have workout facilities made available to them, and they still have the same grind every single day.
Grind, I think, is a good word. How ignorant are young athletes about the demands and opportunities of the business world? And is the experience of playing on the Woodchucks and other teams in the Northwoods League, is that a good education for them?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. It's surprising how many are ignorant. I don't know if ignorant seems like a harsh word, but I think unaware or naive would maybe be better about what it means to be a professional baseball player. A lot of the kids that come to us are a little naive about what it means. They think it's they're used to just playing two or three games a day, and they don't know what it really means to play seven games a week and what the grind is on their body and the wear and tear on their body is. And they learn right away that if you go out after the game and drink or party too much and wake up the next day, you can do that for a day or two, but you can't do that for 72 games. And it's an educational experience for them.
Brad Duckworth, same question for you. The aspiring young athletes that you and your coaches deal with, how naive, we'll use your word, Mark, are they about the business world and what it might take for them to make it?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges when they take that next step is that, they played scholastically in high school and they played in intercollegiate athletics, and there's this tremendous support around them. When things aren't going well, we'll pick you up and we'll take you in and we'll do the things we need to do. That next layer, when you're getting paid, it isn't as glorious as standing in Miller Park or playing in, there's a lot of grind that goes with it, and if you don't produce, you get cut. You stop getting paid, and now you're looking at life beyond that. So for a lot of the athletes who come back and talk to us after they've made professional sports, they don't – it isn't what they always had dreamed of. It's their bus rides and their paychecks are less than what they would have done had they used their college degree and really moved forward. And, there's that harsh reality of we care about you as long as you're producing, and if you're not producing – we can care about you, but you can't work for us. So that's a tough one.
Do you have enough time to deal with the young people who are really should be the focus of your job with all of the bureaucratic things that you have to do as an athletic director?
I work for the state of Wisconsin, so there is certainly some bureaucratic events that go on with us. But there's never enough time to put into your students. And no, I don't spend as much time as I'd like to. But we do have a lot of support around them, and our coaches do a tremendous job, and our university does in educating them the best we can for their next step in life. But that is certainly a challenge. They're young, and they look to us as their line of advice, and we need to be as intentional as we can be about providing that for them.
And Brian Lammy, what are some of the pitfalls that not just young athletes, but all athletes need to avoid if they're not going to damage their professional career? What are the things that they need to avoid? What are the problems that you see in athletic conduct as somebody who's in the sports management business?
Well, we tell our guys to stay off social media after midnight. That, by and large, is a baseline rule. No drunk tweeting generally is a good thing. But I think just to be thoughtful about what they're doing on the field, off the field, and making the right decisions. Because I think if they do something crazy off the field, not only does it impact the marketability that we're more focused on, but it obviously could impact their actual career. You know, O.J. Mayo, who played for the Bucs, is one guy who's now trying to come back from some challenges off the court, and I just think it's important that these guys are just making the right decisions, because it can have a very dramatic impact on their career on and off the field.
Mark McDonald, what do you tell, or what your coaches tell the young players? What are the do's and don'ts?
Well, I mean, the obvious things for any 19 to 21 year old, you know, person is that, you know, be careful with alcohol and drugs. And just, you know, just remember that there, that in a town like Wausau, you stand out. You know, you're an athlete, and you look like an athlete, and you're known around town, and everything you do around here will be seen. And for a lot of these kids, they never really have ever been in that position before, where they've kind of been, you know, put on this pedestal like that. They may play at a, you know, bigger college, big Division I program where there's lots of other great athletes around them. They come to Wausau, and they're very recognizable and very easy to point out.
And Brad Duckworth, you deal with young athletes. They're in a college environment. They're away from home. What do you tell them?
Well, to echo these guys, you know, we're in a different era with social media. So there is very few things that our student athletes are going to do that aren't on Snapchat or Facebook or wherever it's going to end up. You know, and we don't want to take away the college experience, but they do have to be smart. And one of the things I challenge or talk to every one of our student athletes at the beginning of the year is that intercollegiate athletics at Stevens Point is over 100 years old. And you're joining a fraternity that include Terry Porter and Clint Creewald and Jordan Zimmerman. But you're also joining thousands of athletes that are CEOs and teachers and making difference in their community. You know, in a community, Wausau and Stevens Point are very similar. They're small. And when you're a pointer, people know you're a pointer. And you're going to go to the grocery store and you're a pointer. And that's how that works. So there is a huge level of responsibility, and that's what I share with our athletes, is if you're going to choose to continue your career at Stevens Point, you're choosing to understand that you're marketable.
We're going to take another short break. We're talking with Mark McDonald, the owner and CEO of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, Brad Duckworth, athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, and Brian Lammy, the president of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. I'm Glenn Moberg. We do want to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742, or put a question or comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game, sung by Edward Meeker, Edison Records. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Support for WPR comes from Glass Nickel Pizza. 19 years of employee and customer-inspired pizzas made from scratch at 8 Wisconsin locations. Dedicated to sustainability practices and community support. GlassNickelPizza.com. Support also comes from attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
Music from the soundtrack to the baseball comedy Major League, as we discuss the business of sports with Mark McDonald, the owner and CEO of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, Brad Duckworth, the athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, and Brian Lammy, the president of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment or question on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. The old political saying is that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You could say the same thing about money or the love of money. There's big money in sports. Does that get in the way of playing the game for some athletes, Brian Lamme?
I really don't think so, or at least the athletes that we're blessed enough to partner with, I don't see that being a factor. I think these guys are doing it for the passion and the love, and if they weren't, as Mark and Brad have talked about, you know, committed early in their careers and throughout their careers to being the very best that they could be, they wouldn't be there in the first place. So I really don't think, especially the guys that we've been fortunate to work with, that they're doing it for the money. So I don't think the money ends up, you know, being an impact on how they're performing, or really ends up being a big determining factor in the decisions that they're making.
What do you say, Brian, when people tell you that professional players make too much money in today's world? You know, a guy like Babe Ruth certainly didn't make the money that even mediocre ball players make today.
I would say it's an interesting, I guess, question for society overall. Obviously, it gets into, you know, what the market will bear, and that people are awfully excited and passionate about following these sports teams and supporting those teams, and that obviously drives a lot of revenue around it. You know, we're also heaviest on the NFL side of things. We work across all of the major sports, but we do more with NFL, and that career is 3.2 years. So you see some of the huge numbers that an Aaron Rodgers and some of these other athletes are making on an annual basis, but what people don't often see is that some of these guys are making $250,000, which is clearly still a bunch of money. But if you're making that over a three-year career, you still have to find your way long after you're done playing sports. So I think we end up seeing both ends of the spectrum, and I think it goes back to one of our earlier discussion points of, at the end of the day, they still have families and careers and lives and other things to focus on. And I think we end up seeing the great cross-section of athletes across a pretty wide range of that economic status.
All right, here's my tough question of the day for Brad Duckworth. What do you say to people who say that coaches make too much money, that UW-Madison Athletic Director Barry Alvarez isn't worth $1,125,000, or UW-Madison head football coach Paul Christ isn't worth $3.2 million a year?
Well, you know, to reiterate what Brian said, the market drives this, you know, and those folks live in a pressure situation every day. Recruiting is a war every day, and there are very few professions out there where the actions of an 18-year-old are going to reflect to your family, reflect to you, to your program, what you've done. You know, the coaches that have earned their way to those figures, again, it's their one bad decision from a few 18-year-olds away from losing their career and their reputation. So if the market wasn't there, the money wouldn't be there. The market's there, and like every profession, you follow the market.
Mark McDonald, if you watch a Woodchucks game, you get the feeling that money isn't the main factor motivating these young players. It's the love of the game. Is that true, or do they all aspire to getting that big-dollar major league contract?
It varies for every player. Some of them aspire to getting that big major league contract. Others are there just to play the game, to love the game. And some of them actually, you know, find out during the middle of the summer that they don't love the game, and they go home. And so you have a little bit of everything there.
And Brad, you've got ball players who make money for the schools just mm-hmm. by playing. They're not compensated, but yet do you see a situation? We hear about it all the time. I'm not sure if it's actually accurate. Will they be given a pass on some of the academic standards because they're so important to the team and so important to not only the reputation but the money that the school is making off of their talents?
Well, that's the Division I world we're living in today. You know, it's a tough situation. You know, the O'Bannon case right now that is driving this professional amateur conversation at the national level is a scary one for the NCAA. I would completely disagree with somebody who says that these athletes deserve compensation. A full scholarship is compensation. The earning power, you know, Brian just said it, a three-year career, $750,000 for a 22-year-old to live off the rest of their life before taxes – you know, they're going to have a career. And a degree from Wisconsin or Alabama or Minnesota or wherever, that's going to make them more money in their lifetime than their professional sport career would. So the opportunity these young people have through their scholarship dollars is certainly compensation.
We got time to squeeze in a phone call. Let's go to Josh in the Wisconsin Dells. Josh, you're on Route 51.
Hi, I just had a question for the Woodchucks. With playing so many games, how do you keep the attendance up and the experience fresh for the fans while watching the financial impact, with the players and everything like that?
All right, Mark, and you're not allowed to take up all the rest of the time of the show with this answer.
Very quickly, the Wisconsin Woodchucks market area, which, expands down, ranges from Stevens Point up to Merrill and, out to Abbotsford and Anago, is roughly around 200,000 people, I think, somewhere in that range. We draw between 1,500 and, 2,000 a night. With 36 home games, there's a lot of opportunities for fans to come out, and most of our fans come to one or two games a year. So there, you don't have to keep bringing back the same fan every night. There's not a lot of people that want to see 36 Woodchuck games. There's just doesn't really exist anymore, and that's sort of happening all throughout professional sports. I think the Milwaukee Brewers would tell you they have much fewer season ticket holders right now than they had years ago. So, keeping it fresh is just having different promotions every single night and to kind of get the fans out.
Now, all businesses, but particularly those involving sports, rely on goodwill and giving back to the community. Brian, your organization, Lamy Sports Management, is certainly a model for that. You've raised over $5 million for charitable causes. You were named a Susan G. Komen Bigwig in 2017 and called a very important person on a mission to end breast cancer forever by raising awareness and funds in the community. Why do you do those things as a businessman?
I think it's important. I think it's important to give back as a company. It's something that we look for with the athletes that we represent. So we enjoy doing things like Jordy Nelson and before him, Donald Driver's charity softball game. We also put on Donald Driver's Driven to Achieve Awards, a dinner in Milwaukee that will raise almost $750,000 in gross revenues for the Donald Driver Foundation and for him to honor different charities that are doing great work in the community. So it's important for us to give back. It's important for our athletes to give back. It's one of the first things we look for when we're looking at potential clients.
And, Mark, we've already talked to about the renovations in Wausau's athletic field and the improvements to the surrounding neighborhood, which has done a lot to improve the quality of life on Wausau's northeast side. Was it worth all of the money, pumping it back into the community?
I think it has been worth the money. It's had a very positive impact on the community. I've been touched by the response from Central Wisconsin to what the improvements we've made at Athletic Park. They've taken a lot of pride in the ownership of the facility. And it's, it's kind of neat when you're out in public and you hear people bragging about Athletic Park and what a beautiful facility is to go see a game. So I think it's been worth it. It's been really, I've been touched by the fans' response.
Brad Duckworth, kind of the same question for you. The goodwill generated by an athletic program for the university, extremely important to the university's reputation and the ability to draw students. So how important is that, and how important are ethics as a coach for the university's reputation, which, of course, will affect the bottom line?
Well, absolutely. Ethics and community support, unfortunately, the media at times picks up on the one out of 1,000 that's a bad thing, and they forget the 999 amazing things our student-athletes do. Our student-athletes understand that they once, not that long ago, were role models. We're getting influence from athletes, and now they're role models. Our coaches take that to heart. Ethics is certainly a major part in what we do in it. Unfortunately, at times, the story is the one of 1,000. But I will tell you, the remarkable impact student-athletes have throughout the country is really noteworthy.
We are completely out of time. Thank you all for being with us today. We want to thank today's guests, Mark McDonald, owner and CEO of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, Brad Duckworth, athletic director of UW-Stevens Point, and Brian Lammy, the founder and president of Lammy Sports Management of Milwaukee. You can find out more about the Woodchucks at northwoodsleague.com/Wisconsin Woodchucks. You can find out more about Lammy Sports Management at lammysports.com. You can find out more about the UW-Stevens Point Athletic Department at athletics.uwsp.edu. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our show producer, Chris Watkins, and our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Special music and audio clips today from the University of Wisconsin Symphonic Band, the football film Remember the Titans, the basketball drama Coach Carter, Bruce Springsteen, Ed Meeker, and the baseball comedy Major Leagues. Thanks for riding along with us today. It's been fun. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we are heading out of town.